Alrighty. So first up, I like sports, okay? In general. I like playing sports, like watching sports, like talking about sports, I like playing sports. Pretty much sports are pretty fun. Who, any of you guys like sports? We'll pray for the rest of you guys. So sports are pretty fun. I've given most sports a go, and some sports I gave them a go once, and other sports I gave a go a couple of times. I like soccer. I played soccer most of my life, and I used to be pretty good at swimming. I went down to Sydney once, and I've also played beach volleyball internationally. So there you go, it's a little bit fun facts. But the sports I tend to like most are team sports. Okay? For whatever reason, I'm less interested in solo sports. Tennis is good. Like, I like watching the Australian Open. I like watching the big name guys on TV, especially when they're doing some pretty amazing grunting and everything else. And so that's pretty fun. Golf is not really a sport that you watch on TV, sorry. It's a sport that you can kind of go in a golf buggy with a couple of mates and play, but I think it's the fun of the golf buggy that makes golf fun. So, all said, team sports are the go. Soccer, the world sport. For those of you who don't believe that, then I'm sorry, you're wrong. Rugby, the sport that the English taught us, that we taught the Kiwis, and we wish we didn't. And the English wish that they didn't teach us, so it's like just that carry-on effect. And then it's cousin sport, rugby league. And now, for those of you who know, this week there was an amazing match that happened on Wednesday, and New South Wales proved its dominance over Queensland. And so you're welcome. Thanks for coming. And if you're a Queensland supporter, then my condolences, maybe next year. And if you're here, then just remember that you're living in the best state. So again, you're welcome. All right? So what is it about team sports that makes it appealing for us? You can have your favorite player. There's the superstar, there's the one that you've got, the kids have got their name on the back of the jersey. But there's more than just them that are in the team. There's the reliable person that just comes in, does the same job every day. There's the fill-in person that someone's out, and so it's like, hey, it's your turn. And they've got their boots shaking. There's the workhorses that just do all the work and that they actually make the team really good, but no one actually knows who their name is. Everyone else. There's the support crew, there's the coaches, there's the captain. There's more than just the superstar. Match. There's always a man of the match. Sometimes it's easier to see who that man of the match is. But anything can happen on the day. The rookie can play an amazing game of football, and the superstar might as well not have even showed up. Anything can happen on the day. One of the best teams are the teams that work well together. The Australian cricket team for years was not the best. They didn't have the best players, but together they played better than anyone else. Every player has their job, their position, and they execute it. They play for each other and not for themselves. They play and train for an end goal, the same goal. They have team unity and purpose. Activity of the Lego, you saw that you had to do things together. You couldn't just develop your structure, whatever it was, on your own. You had to go and either poach from another table or trade to be able to complete your piece. Paul is giving instructions to the Church of Ephesus on how to achieve that same team unity, that working together for the good of the body. In verses 13, it says, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We as believers, as followers of Christ, as Christians, are to have the same goal as Ephesians. Unity in the faith. Now we need to remember that this letter to the Ephesians was written by Paul to a group of Christians in Ephesus. Okay? We spoke about it last week, but I'm going to recap it anyway. This church was the people. It wasn't a building. It wasn't a church service. It's the people. In the Greek, the word is ekklesia. Okay? And it means gathering or assembly. And that is who this letter was written to. This gathering of united Christians in this town that was just a mess of everything else. Now, today's culture, we kind of call this building the church, and we call what we're doing here this morning as the church service. But the truth is, this is actually just the building, and this is just the service that the church gathers. For without you guys, this would just be an empty building, or just some random service of singing songs and playing with Lego. For those who call Austinville Baptist your family church, thanks for having us here. It's always a blessing to gather together as the local church, knowing that we not only belong to God, but that we also belong to a local body of believers. But for those of you this morning who are visiting, or still just trying to figure out this church thing, then welcome to Austinville Baptist. I'm sure someone will come and talk to you afterwards, and if not, come talk to me. And might I encourage you, especially if you have a relationship with God, to join a local church, wherever that may be. It doesn't have to be this one if you're visiting from our town, but if you live here, then why not make it this one? Remember one thing, we're not to have a consumer mindset. We're not to come here to think, what has the church got for me? Instead, consider it like our family. What can I do for the church body? How can I contribute and participate with this family known as Austinville Baptist? You might be thinking, I don't have any special skills, or what do I do? I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too all over the place. Well, as we look through this passage in Ephesians this morning, we will see that we all have a place in the church body. I'm going to come back to verses 7 and 10 a little bit later, so let's skip down to verses 11 and 12. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Why? To equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, telling us that Jesus has given the church these gifts, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, so that the church can be built up and serve better. The New Century Version translation says, and Christ gave gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, and some to have the work of caring and teaching God's people. Christ gave those gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. Pretty exciting that we get to join with that. So we're going to look at that first verse in 12. It says to equip. You can't just equip someone. You have to equip them with something that's better. But if we look up here in verse 12, it says, to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ. So that's what these verses that we're looking at this morning is talking about. It's talking about teamwork. And so to bring back the sports talk, we aren't called to be the superstar, but rather we are to work together for the sake of the whole team. Okay? The Bible shows us that God doesn't always look for the superstar. In fact, the majority of the time, he uses the underdog or the lesser person. If we think about King David, he was the youngest of the youngest sons, and he was a scrawny little shepherd. Yet God did great things through him. He was able to defeat Goliath. If we think of Gideon, he was a guy that was too scared to cut down a pole in daytime that he had to go get his servant to do it at night. And yet God used him to defeat an entire army, also at night. If you think about Moses, he spent half his life living in the desert as a shepherd, and then God used him to deliver his people out of Egypt. And you can go on. The Bible uses not always the superstar to do his work. He relishes in the ordinary, which is exciting for me because that's me. When the ordinary is used, God's power is shown to be great. It's the glory, not us. In Galatians 3:26, it says, "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." So if you are a follower of Christ, you are a child of God. We have not been called, we are not called to be giants, but we are called to be children. To get in and have a go. Children just do what they're told sometimes. Straight away. They don't look for a shortcut in wanting to drag a bucket across. And children are reliant on their parents. If we are children of God, then we are fully reliant on the power of our Father. And we don't rely on our own power. It's interesting that in Galatians and in Ephesians, it refers to all believers, not just the leaders or this selected group. The language is used is, you are all children of God. His people, the body of Christ, we all reach. It's that unifying language for all of us. Fortunately, this is something you don't retire from. As I said at the start, I have my lovely wife and two kids, Alexander, 3.5, and Charlotte's just over 2. My kids are young, but we're already training them to contribute to our family. When they make a mess in their house and they put their toys everywhere, we like to think that they pretend to help put the toys back. Doesn't matter if they're not in the right spot, they're starting. When they finish eating from their plates, they have to take their plates to the sink. Usually more crumbs go on the floor on the way to the sink, but it's starting. They serve within their capacity. As they grow and mature, their level of serving will increase. This is the same when we serve as the church. Listen and submit to your leaders, and you serve accordingly. Paul is not telling us to leave the work to a select few, whomever they may be, for the benefit of the whole body. I do not leave all of my house chores to my lovely wife or to the kids. That won't benefit my family. We as a church need to remember what benefits the body. And through serving, maturity increases. Kids continually taking the plates to the sink, eventually getting tall enough, or I build a shelf for them to stand on. They can start washing the plates. Then I have to rewash them afterwards, but that's okay. They start to learn. Most of the time, we think that someone just becomes an overnight success. They're just the best guitar player in the world just because they woke up that day. Or Lionel Messi is the best soccer player in the world because it just happened. That's not true. It happens over time and practice. By making mistakes, listening to your coach, slowly improving. But you don't become the best soccer player by just reading about soccer. You become the best soccer player by playing soccer. At some point, you have to put it into practice. You have to actually start doing it. So often in the church, we think, I can't serve, or I can't do that, or that job they're asking is just not within my gifting. But how do you know? Lionel Messi was 5 years old when he started playing soccer. If he didn't ever kick the soccer ball and never played in a soccer team, we know 20 years later if he was going to be the best soccer player in the world. Started with him not being the best. God isn't asking you to be a one-man show. He's just asking you to start playing. Don't let fear stop you from contributing to the body of Christ, to the church. I love how the ESV puts it. Equip the saints for the work of ministry. Remember, if you were a saint, if you were a believer, if you were a follower of Christ, a Christian, all of those names, you will be equipped by the church for the work of the church, the work of the ministry. Ministry isn't just for those who get paid or the pastors. It's for all of us who are believers, who are followers. Verse talks about Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Our job is to equip all of the believers for the work of the ministry. In some versions, the work of service. Christ did not give the believers, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, teachers and pastors, so that they can go and do all the work. The mission in Matthew 28 says, as you go, make disciples of all the nations. It doesn't say, bring them back to your church building, take them to your pastor, your home group leader, and leave them to share the good news to them. As followers of Christ, it says, as you go, you share the faith. 1 Peter in chapter 3, it says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. A great thought. It's the most understandable thing. It's something that you've experienced. Aldi is the best shop in the world because I'm telling you it is. I've experienced it. And if you haven't, we'll go shopping there later. What other shop can you buy a chainsaw and bacon? It's fantastic. You just share within your capacity. If you're still a little bit scared, then let me just remind you of Philippians chapter 4 says, I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. So that takes away all your excuses, sorry. Just going to finish on verses 7 through to 10. This is some more verification of who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of God, a member of the Trinity. He left his place in heaven so that he would come to earth, fully God, but also fully man. That's what this ascending and descending language is all about. And Jesus did all of this so that he could lay down his life for us, dying on a cross, defeating death, and rising again 3 days later. And then eventually rising back to his place of glory in heaven. He did all of that so that we can have a restored relationship with Christ. So that we can be made right with our Creator God. And we can have a new life in him. That's the grace that verse 7 is talking about. Good news we are to share with everyone. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 5 verse 8. It says, for while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To me, that's just so amazing and awesome. And I don't want to miss that this morning. If you've never heard that God so loved you, despite your ignorance, violence against him, that he made a way that you can be made right with him again, that you can have a restored relationship with him, because he loves you, he sent his son to die for you. You hear it now. You and wants you to know him. All you have to do is ask. Whether you've heard that the first time this morning or the 100th time, our reaction should still be the same. Pure amazement and joy that the creator of the world loves you, loves me. Not for who you may become in the future, but for who you are in this very moment. Loves you now and always. father-son relationships. I love my son now, not for what he's going to do for me in 60 years' time and I've got a bad back and I need someone to mow my lawn. Christ dying on the cross fired us and made us righteous. Now, they're two big words and they simply mean justified, just if I'd never sinned. That's how you remember justified. Justified never. And righteous means your right standing in God. Through what Christ did on the cross, you are justified and made right with God. You get that restored relationship with Him. And the best part is you get to share that with everyone around you. Just like me telling everyone that Audi is the best shop in the world, you get to tell everyone loved, and they are loved. You don't have to compete with what the world's got on offer. You've got a hope that transpires all of that. Let us pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the reminder that you sent your son to die on that cross for us, that you called us together as a body to equip one another to work for the good of your family, the good of our local family, known as the church, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for those who yet made that step, we pray, Lord, that you can just open their hearts to your grace and to that hope that is within you. We thank that, Lord, for those who have received that hope. And we pray, Lord, that fire burns within them brightly, so that all those who see them notice something different within them and desire for that surety, for that hope, that new life that is given only in you. Lord, that as we go away this week, we can remind ourselves that we can start serving small and we are all called to serve. We are all called to serve you for the better of the body and do that through your power. Amen.